I have created some instant trivia.
All right.
Well, now, one quick disclaimer. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Happy Wednesday. Quick disclaimer. If I've got one wrong here, give me a little bit of grace that I really furiously tried to put this together in the last 4 minutes.
Okay.
But I thought something, and I think the number sounds right, and I think I've got it. I am looking for the five NFL stadiums Josh Allen has yet to play in.
Ooh.
All right, Seattle's one of them.
Yes, that's what got me thinking about it.
Yeah.
He has never been to Seattle.
They've only played there once in 20 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
There are five NFL stadiums Josh Allen has not yet played in.
The 49ers stadium.
Correct.
Levi's stadium?
Yes, they were supposed to, but that game got moved.
Forest fires,
right?
COVID forest fires, yeah, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yes, correct. There are three more Josh Allen has never played in.
Has he never played in... No, he did. Never mind. I was thinking Tampa.
But he has played in Tampa. Yeah, they lost in overtime to Brady.
Okay. He's never played...
Three more stadiums.
He's played in Arizona.
Yep.
Denver? A few times.
He has played in Denver.
In Denver. They scored like 50.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. They clinched the division in Denver.
He's played in L.A. He's never played in... Has he played in Vegas? Yeah, he's played in Vegas.
He has played in Vegas. They beat Vegas. He threw a big jump ball to Diggs in Vegas.
Ooh.
Jeffrey writes in Green Bay in Minnesota. He had played in both of those in his rookie season.
Yeah.
Remember his...
So next year that resets, I think.
His breakout was Minnesota. In Green Bay, he had a terrible game.
Cleveland.
He has played in Cleveland.
That's right, by the way, isn't it? Next year will be his rookie schedule. They'll be at Green Bay. They'll be at Minnesota.
That sounds right.
Because it's 8 years. He's never played...
No, next year they're not.
No?
You're 1 year off.
1 year off, okay.
Next year, this is how I know they're 1 year off. Two of the answers are on this list next year.
He'll play two of these places.
He has three left. He has not played in three. You got Seattle and San Francisco. There are three more.
He's never played...
Carolina.
Correct.
Carolina.
The Bills, I mean, when's the last time... Put it this way.
I can't remember the last Bills at Panthers.
When I was looking up Carolina in the history, I read it wrong, and it made it in my head look like they've never played a game in Carolina. And my thought was, that might be right. I can't remember.
Wait, let me sit here for just a second and try to remember a Bills at Panthers game.
Yeah, good luck.
They never played Cam Newton on the road?
They
must not have. I don't remember one at all.
The last time the Bills played in Carolina was early in the season. They lost to Carolina.
Oh, I remember this
9-3.
Oh, wait.
That's a Tyrod game.
Is this the game where Tyrod to Zay Jones at the end is like almost complete?
Yeah. Tyrod.
And we were debating whose fault it was the next day.
Here's your numbers for Ty God that day, your guy.
Oh, no.
17 of 25 for 125.
Bet no turnovers, though.
True.
Kept them in the game.
That's right. So Carolina is correct.
So is Atlanta right?
Atlanta is correct.
Okay. It was almost correct.
It was almost correct.
In the AFC Championship
That's
game.
Right. They would have visited that stadium. That's right.
Which fueled a Bengals rivalry for years.
So there's one more.
And there's one more.
Josh Allen has never played in what NFL stadium? There's one more.
Okay, so I've got two in each division, which is making me think it's not going to be in either of those divisions. He's played in Tampa. He's played in New Orleans on Thanksgiving. So this is going to... I'm guessing this is a game he missed due to injury.
Interesting.
When was
five
he...
Five NFL stadiums.
He hasn't been injured, though, in forever.
Seattle, San Francisco, Atlanta, Carolina, and... One more.
Maybe this isn't right, because the only game I remember him missing on the road with an injury was the Jet game that Barkley threw for like five touchdowns or something. He's played in Chicago. It was that win game.
There are only 32 teams. I'm just saying, like, you can guess.
Right,
there's not that many guesses left.
Yeah. right? This isn't like a trick, like a team that's like, he's never played the Astrodome.
I don't think it's a trick.
Okay, it's not a trick. Where the hell hasn't he played? Is there another... What? Is it obvious?
It's not obvious. You were getting to the right neighborhood. It's an injury. He missed it.
Okay, so there's a game with injury.
There's a game with injury.
Oh, wait a minute. I know. Indy,
which will happen later this month.
Derek Anderson
or
played.
Whatever, next month. Yes.
Derek Anderson. Was it Derek Anderson? Is that the game they scored 5 points?
Yes, it was 37-5.
The worst score ever.
37-5.
The five. You can't end a game with five.
No.
You just can't.
So those are the five stadiums Josh Allen has never played in.
Okay.
Seattle, San Francisco, Indy, Atlanta, Carolina.
Are there any stadiums he played in that are no longer active?
Did he play
in Oakland?
No, I
he
don't
didn't
think
play
so.
In San Diego,
no,
right?
No.
All right, so maybe not. Minnesota. That might have been the first year he played there.
Yep.
Very rookie year.
Yep. Good trivia, huh? Not bad.
Okay, I think I've got... No, never mind, I was home. If he played at the Chargers in his rookie year, he would have played at that soccer stadium.
Right.
That they played in for like a year or two.
Peterman played in that stadium. Right? Isn't that where the five picks...
That's where the five pick game was?
I think
so. In a 20,000-seat stadium?
Is that wrong?
Oh, you might be right.
Other thing... You know, you're kind of young. So, do you remember the age when football games used to be played in baseball stadiums and the baseball diamond was on the field?
I remember it for two teams. I remember it, I think, for the Dolphins.
And for Oakland.
Oakland, yeah. I remember it for Oakland, for sure. Because they did that late.
I don't remember that for the Dolphins. That a pro player? Pro player?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, Bills Dolphins in, like, 2002, I bet, was, like, on, there was still baseball diamond there because the Marlins would have played there, right?
At Hard Rock Stadium?
I think so. Am I wrong about that? Someone correct me if I'm wrong on that. I thought I remembered Bills at Dolphins for a time at that stadium.
Joe Robbie Stadium, yeah. I guess they did share it.
They shared it, okay. Yeah. I remember those games. Fiedler, maybe. There's a Fiedler game in there where they're playing on dirt.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do remember that. Oakland was doing that until, what, 6 years ago? 7 years ago? Like, that wasn't that long ago that the Raiders were still playing on a baseball diamond. How insane is that, by the way?
It's nuts.
Billion-dollar stadiums. Now, like, turf is, you know, the players are working to outlaw that because turf is so dangerous. They were playing on rocks.
Wasn't a baseball diamond better than turf? It's still just dirt.
You slip and slide on it, don't you?
Oh, all right, but it's dirt. I mean, baseball players wear cleats.
I feel like you'd be injured more because you would have less traction. But maybe I'm wrong on that. I've never played on dirt.
Jameis Winston starting for the Browns.
They're going to be better.
Yes, right? They are.
Aren't they definitely going to be better with him at quarterback?
Can he win comeback player of the year? No, he didn't have an injury, right?
No. They changed it. Are we sure Hamlin can't win it this year?
Candlestick Park, thank you. Yes, that's another one. San Francisco is another baseball diamond. Candlestick.
Okay.
Man, the memories of Candlestick Park. You say Candlestick Park to me.
It's a great name of a stadium.
Unbelievable. And I am transported back to the dominant era of the Niners of the 1990s. You know what Candlestick Park was?
Candlestick Park was the one that was weird. It was a baseball stadium. Right?
It was like, shaped
the shape
weird.
Was stupid.
There were some seats that couldn't see football. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty weird. But Candlestick Park was basically what Arrowhead is now, which is every single game you watched for 10 years took place at Candlestick Park. I watched 200 games at Candlestick.
You don't seem to have the disdain, though, for it that you have of Arrowhead.
I didn't hate the Niners.
Okay.
And, you know, I didn't hate the Niners. I mean, I was too young. I mean, I grew up a Giants fan, and the Niners were in their way.
So say, shouldn't you loathe them then?
Yeah, but when you're like...
That's the Chiefs Bills.
When you're 10, you don't hate them the way you do when you're 40. When you're older, you hate teams more.
Oh, I don't agree with this.
No,
No. I have never hated a team the way I hated the Senators in 2005 and 6
and
7.
Yeah, but that's immature, childish. Those are the bad guys.
That's the point.
But that's like hating Thanos hate. Like, he's the bad guy. I'm supposed to hate that guy. Whereas when you're an adult and you hate a sports team, that is well thought out emotional sports trauma.
There's more logic behind it?
Yeah. You have actively decided that you would like to see this team experience horrible things.
Isn't irrational hate a little more aggressive, though, than, like, here's the reason why I hate something? Like,
when you're a kid, it's good guys, bad guys.
Yeah, but that's all it is. When you're an adult, it's like there's more thought into it. When you're a kid,
that's what I'm saying. It's way more intense when you put thought into it versus these are the bad guys.
Yeah, but what if the bad guys are always winning? That's the difference. Because the bad guys in like a movie, if you're a kid, the bad guy never wins. It's always the good guy that wins. And then I go watch Tom Brady play the Bills, and he wins every single time.
Yeah, well, Brady wasn't the bad guy. The Bills were the bad guy. That's what you learn when you grow up.
Right? I wasn't there yet.
That's right. That's right.
Brady at the time was the bad guy. He was Thanos.
803-0550 if you want to join us. 1-888-552-550. So Allen in Seattle, like that. What's your confidence level in this game?
I'm like a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
I feel pretty good. I feel like I don't want to completely discount the Seahawks, though. I don't think the Seahawks are great. Like I think they've got some big holes on their roster, but I think they got enough. Like, they got enough to be a playoff team, and when you're on the road out west like that in that stadium, like, I don't think you could take that lightly, even though I think the Bills are definitely a better football team. Is that fair?
Sure. The road environment to me is a big deal here. Like, the Bills have two losses on the road in tough places to play, and the one road game they did win, when my father-in-law was at the game, at the Jets game, and said there were 10,000 empty seats the whole time, and there are a lot of Bills fans. Like, this is one of those top five, top three road venues. You lost at Baltimore. You lost at Houston. Could you lose at Seattle? Now, I don't think the Seahawks are as good as the Ravens, but they've got a good running back. If Metcalf is out, I think like I would even tilt it one way or the other based on if Metcalf is out.
They're good, though, behind him. Like they are. They don't have him. But
they're good behind him, but that's a team that can hit you for explosive plays. And in a perfect Bills defense, how it's normally built, they don't give them up. And this Bills defense does. This defense does give up chunk plays. So,
yeah.
I wonder.
They've still, like, right. They are good behind them, but they don't have the explosive downfield guy. But, you know, the Bills are so good at taking that away anyway. Like, what kind of game do we really think Metcalf was going to have against the Bills? That player is great. That player never goes off against the Bills unless they have backup safeties in. That's it. So, wasn't their game already going to be a lot of Smith and Jigba and Lockett in the short to intermediate? Like, I kind of think what they were probably going to do anyway isn't really that affected. Maybe the Bills can cheat more up a little bit because they don't have the threat of Metcalf over the top. I mean, not saying he doesn't make an impact. All to say, like, I think Geno is good. I think Geno is really good. I think they have two good receivers even when Metcalf's not out there. But I guess, what is it, the line is maybe not perfect and the defense has holes in it. So that's why, like, I'm mostly confident. I think they're a good enough team to give the Bills a threat to make the road environment actually matter in this game. But the Bills should win this football game.
Should.
They should win it.
They're favored on the road to win in Seattle.
What are they favored by, 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should win this game.
So that means,
but it's not offensive if they lose it.
No, that means if the game is played here, the general thought is that home field is now 1.5.
Yes.
So if it was Seattle at Bills, the Bills would be about a 6-point favorite, and that sounds right.
Yes.
It was, what, 8.5 going into Tennessee? It moved a little bit, but it opened at 8.5, and I think Seattle is 6 instead of 8.5.
Right.
So flip it back the other way. It means it would be a 5.5 favorite in Tennessee, and they're a 3-point favorite in Seattle. I think it sounds about right. But they could lose.
The Seahawks have played down to opponents this year, too. Like, they barely beat New England, right?
Yep. And they lost to the Giants without Malik Neighbors, which is
that's horrible.
That's kind of incredible.
I guess their other losses aren't that bad. But really, like, you look at, they've lost to the Niners, the Giants, and the Lions. The Giants' loss is pretty bad. Falcons, Dolphins, Patriots, Broncos are their wins. Like, I don't know. They're just kind of a mid team. They're a mid average team, and you could lose to a team like that. I don't know. The Bills, I'd like to think they're good enough right now, especially if Cooper's going, where what it's going to take to beat the Bills on a week in, week out basis is you got to be one of the top teams in the league. And I'm not thinking that's Seattle, even though they might win their division. San Francisco against Seattle.
Yeah. 803-0550. Catch up on a couple of calls here. Let's go to Paul in Buffalo. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Guys, you know, we had a little bit of a restore the faith game last night.
Yeah.
I've got to say, Owen Power flashed brilliance last night. His offensive awareness, as we all know, is off the charts, and he was just in the right spot at the right time last night. Knew how to make the pass when he had to. His confidence was just proof, and it was just one of those games. You're like, wow, opens your eyes about him. And you know, I learned. Aileen, as a young man, awareness will come for Owen Power as time goes by and he gets a few hundred more NHL games under his belt. But he was brilliant last night. And I'd also like to say, I think UPL has had two excellent games in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we've got a real shot at getting three wins in a row come Saturday. One thing I'll say, though, is I see this one. They play better at home when the building's half empty. To fill full building Saturday against Detroit. Worry.
Yeah, well,
I might, you know, that might be recency bias, though, because I think there are, like, I'm trying to pull back numbers off the top of my head that we've referenced over the last couple of years where the Sabres, like, when the crowd is more than 15,000, that their record is, like, really good, and that when it's less than 15,000, their record is really bad. So I don't know, updated, though, how true that still is, but it was true at a time, that they would win the games at home when there were fans, and they would lose the games at home when there weren't fans. Is that different this year? I don't know. There's been three home games.
Paul hung up, but he echoed a thought that I've said. I want to put my hand up. I even said this when we were mad and, you know, ranting, that they do look to me like the kind of team that will be a more normal team. They will have three-game win streaks. They will put together a good stretch. Hey, guys, they're 5-2-1 in these last eight. Now, that, of course, the question is, will they have enough not to 5-1 stretches mm-hmm. to ruin all those good stretches? But I think they look like a team that will play an accomplished brand of hockey. Can they get in? They look like a team that is on that level, and they made a bunch of stupid mistakes. It's like Brian Koziel, who we talked to 2 hours ago. What'd he say? Like, as long as you don't lose special teams, you've been a good team. They've been good outside of special teams. And Devin Levi had a rough game in Columbus. Past that, like, I've been somewhat pleased, even with, you know, a bunch of guys kind of nowhere, whether that's Cousins or Quinn. Mark in Coconut Creek. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good
morning. Hey, you guys are talking about the old stadiums with the baseball diamonds. I think the old, didn't the Rock Pile in Buffalo, didn't they have a baseball diamond on theirs as well?
I don't know.
Yeah, but nothing worse than playing on it when it's frozen dirt as well. I mean, that was a crazy era. But, you know, just switching over to the Bills for a second, you know, I think Bean made a great move, obviously, getting Cooper. I think if we got a safety, I'd go out and try to find a safety or someone, and then maybe DeMar can move to a different position. But I think we need a safety to tighten up our defense up the middle, and I think we're heading in the right direction here now. So, and one more thing about Josh, you know, I was watching some highlights of him, like all the times he like dove over top of people, and he just looks so much different back there right now and comfortable, and I think he's just, you know, letting it come to him, and he's gonna start lighting it up here moving forward. So I think we're in good shape. So great show, guys. Love listening to you, and you know, have a great day, man.
Thanks, Mark. You know, as we tie together Josh and the Sabres here, here's a fun question. We had this sent in from a listener. What happens first? Allen throws a pick, or the Sabres score a power play goal?
Well, the Sabres have a game first on Saturday.
Here's what I'd like you to do. Could you dive into the analytics? What's Josh's turnover-worthy throws versus expected goals on power play?
It probably is right. There's a way to figure that out.
A funny thing, Chris Trapasso pointed this out yesterday. Right now, Josh Allen's turnover-worthy play percentage is above where it was last year. Last year, he had 7 interceptions at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he has actually a higher turnover-worthy throw rate now.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of luck.
So sometimes it's not about actual interceptions. It's about, you know, what did you do with the ball? Did you put it in harm's way?
He also was throwing the ball less than this time last year.
Yes.
There are less attempts. But more of that, I would think, is just you get lucky, right?
Yep.
Or you get unlucky most of the time. I would say the Sabres score a power play goal first, even though it feels like they never will. They came close last night, and they'll have a game on Saturday, and then Allen plays. And if Allen doesn't throw a pick on Sunday, and then the Sabres, have three more games?
And if they don't have a power play goal by November,
oh my
holy cow. Joe in Grand Island is next up. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Yeah, I'm just thinking, given the amount of chunk plays that we've been giving up compared to years prior, why aren't we blitzing more? It seems like when we're blitzing quarterbacks that take a little bit to make a decision are stressing and the Bills are making plays. So I'd love to see them blitz more.
Yeah. So, all right, good question. A lot of that comes down to the quarterback and the scheme you're going to play against, right? Like, who do you think you can get to this guy? Can I rattle this player? And I'm immediately looking up, like, okay, how's Geno against the blitz? Because last game would have been Mason Rudolph, Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes. There's different. It's not as simple as we're going to blitz this guy. Allen this year, like, here's a good example. Allen in previous years has killed the blitz. And then what happened? Well, the Bills forgot to give him good enough weapons, and he got blitzed a bunch, and he couldn't get the ball to them. Now with Amari Cooper there, that might change. So I'll try to find numbers on Geno against the blitz and see what I can get for you.
Do we feel like the Bills are really struggling to get a pressure with four though this year? Like I'm thinking that usually dictates whether they blitz or not. More than like when it's, you know, hey, is this a game to be aggressive? It's just what does their own personnel say? And Greg Rousseau has one of the best pass rush win rates in the league. And Vaughn's not out there, and when he is, then this is maybe a better point. But Rousseau is up around 20% right now, win rate.
Yeah.
Like, to me, when you have a guy playing that well, I just think your need to blitz just isn't the same.
So, earlier this season, Geno Smith on NFL teams blitzing him when they beat New England. So, I've got numbers on him against the blitz. He threw a touchdown against the New England blitz. And then this is what he said about it. I welcome the blitz. I hope they blitz me. A lot of teams don't. A lot of teams come out and play us too high. Today they wanted to be aggressive. It didn't pay off for them. For me, I've seen so much football, I just know what I'm looking at. I study a lot of film. There's always tells out there on the field. You just got to find the guy. I've worked on that. For the most part, teams don't really zero us, cover zero. But they got them to critical situations, and that was their call, and that's what they went with. So Geno Smith says, blitz me. I dare you.
I feel like the Bills need to. That's where I'm landing on this. You don't need to blitz him. Rush four, hang back.
Clog the lanes?
Yeah. And on Hamlin, the caller referenced Hamlin too. Like, is anyone else like me? I'm in no hurry at all to replace him. I don't think it's a big deal at all. He's playing completely fine. Right? He's not making big mistakes out there. You want big impact plays? Like, I don't know where you're going to find him. I'm completely fine with Hamlin in there. I mentioned this with Sal earlier. The one idea that I think would make sense to replace him with is Micah Hyde. If he wants to come back, if he's in shape to do it, if maybe it's been a thought all along that, hey, you could maybe come back later in the year, then I'm into that. Any other idea, I just have no interest in them rushing DeMar Hamlin off the field. To me, I'm not seeing mistakes. That's the baseline. It's all I need right now from a safety.
Yeah, I don't like go to bed thinking about how they're going to replace DeMar Hamlin myself. But I do wonder about the Mike Edwards scenario. I mean, here's, you know, we talked to Sal about it, and he went off for a long time, like, baffled how this hasn't. You identify him, like, your pro personnel people would identify this player as someone that could fit, and he doesn't yet. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe, give us a call if you'd like. I still have that Let's Get Stupid for you. We can play around with that. It's about a trade for Myles Garrett, so, you know, you want to get stupid? We'll do it next. Time for a Let's Get Stupid.
Let's go. What we got?
I mentioned it to you in one of the breaks. You know, so Myles Garrett's name has come up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I haven't seen it anywhere other than Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack tweeting out just that
Any team that trades for him pays him $800,000. Like, every team in the NFL pretty much could trade for Myles Garrett from a salary cap standpoint.
I did see Zach Jackson of The Athletic, who writes and covers the Browns. He did write yesterday about Garrett and what it would take to deal for Garrett. He said, I think it would be more than this. Where's exact wording? At least a first-round pick?
Yep. Okay. Perfect.
The now, bigger deal for Cleveland is they would have to accept $36 million in dead money next year. Okay. So it's easy for the team getting him.
Right.
It's not as easy for the Browns, who are already committed to Deshaun Watson next year at like $60 million.
Well, another
whatever.
Another piece of this is, if you're the Browns and you're trading him, and if you're a team trading for him and paying that big price, you're going to extend him.
Yes.
So here's the let's get stupid. You say it would cost at least a first?
Yeah.
So a first and more.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Joe. Who says no? Rousseau and a first.
Ooh, I am going to be very tempted to say yes to that.
And you're going to pay him.
Going to say that?
And you're going to pay him, you know, $30 million a year. He's getting both some money.
Yeah. Well, he's worth it.
Yep.
That's the thing.
He's the best. He's last year voted as the best defensive NFL player. Myles Garrett. Rousseau in a first. Who says no? Let's get stupid.
Does nobody say no?
I'm not sure.
Why would the Browns say no?
I mean, the Browns would be getting young, replace the position.
And a first.
They would, of course, have to pay Rousseau, who's not going to get, you know, 30. They get a first.
He's 4 years younger.
The Browns have, like, the least draft capital in the entire league because of the Deshaun Watson trade, too. Like, they're in so much trouble that if they want to go for rebuild status, you know, fire their coach, whatever. Who knows where things go from here with Jameis Winston if they are going to listen to offers on Garrett. But that's a player that could get them draft capital back, kind of get them back. It's like trading Eichel or something like that for them.
Pretty much. And the Bills would say no to that. Why? Because they love Rousseau?
Because they might think it's not enough of an upgrade. We don't need to pay an additional $8 million a year at that position, and we don't need to pay an additional first-round pick. I know. I'm just...
Yeah.
That's why it's Let's Get Stupid.
That's right. Like, see, I would hear that, though, and if that was their argument, say, you guys don't realize how good Myles Garrett is. Greg Rousseau is a great player, and he's having a great season that he's not going to get the respect for, probably, because a lot of it is just how many sacks did you have? His win rate is top-notch. His run defense is elite. He is getting pressured on the quarterback. He hit Rudolph six times on Sunday, but he's not Myles Garrett.
Okay.
Myles Garrett is one of the best ever. Like, I would jump at that in a second.
He's 28. His next contract is going to be what?
And you wouldn't want to do both because you'd be paying...
too much to the position.
What would it be, $50 million between the two?
Yeah. Can't do it.
They've been obsessed with it.
That's
just
right.
Just saying, like, they would know, hey, for 5 years, we don't have to touch it. We've got our two studs. They're locked up. Sure, we're paying a lot for it. But we don't have to this 7 year search for stud pass rushers is over.
I've got a more fun Let's Get Stupid, but I'll just cram two in one.
All right.
This one's a little more fun, and we could actually do this one. So I saw a lot of love going around for Christian Benford yesterday, just how good he's been. He needs a contract. Whenever you're ready, Bills. Like, that's an extension guy, Christian Benford. And Nate Geary, who is on the station quite a bit, I host pregame with him. You hear him on Bills postgame as well. He wrote that Christian Benford is Sauce Gardner with worse PR. Just that not enough people know about Christian Benford, to which I would say, sounds like it's time for a good nickname.
For Christian Benford?
His PR is, get this guy a nickname, Revis Island. Everybody knew Revis Island.
Yeah.
You want to be thought of as a great player. You need a nickname.
Gardner's fine just because his first name is already the nickname. Sauce?
It's not actually his name. That was a nickname given to him, not as a
player. But like, it's his listed name, like on, on
rosters. His name is Ahmad Gardner.
Yeah.
But he goes by Sauce because it was a nickname he was given as a kid.
Right. Right, and that's different than Revis going by Revis Island.
That's right. But the point is, you get a nickname. I mean, listen... Peanut Tillman is forever famous because his name was Peanut, and he punched the ball out. Or his nickname was Peanut.
Now everybody punches each other in football fields because of him.
I know, right. So, okay, Christian Benford nickname ideas.
I like something creative too, not just like, hey, initials and his number.
Well,
CB47.
You know what? It'd be fine if it wasn't 47.
That was my point to Nate. But I don't think he needs a PR agent. I think he needs to change his number.
That might be right.
If he was number two, he'd be first team all pro.
Again, how did Sauce Gardner get his name? His nickname?
How?
A youth football coach, when he was 6 years old, gave him the nickname Sauce because he had barbecue sauce on his face while eating ribs, is one of the stories from Andy Vasquez in New York.
Okay.
So, like, Christian Benford, go get caught eating something, and we'll get you a nickname. Christian Benford. How about the Supernova, right? He's from Villanova.
Ooh, the Supernova? Nah, it's...
It's not good enough.
It's not a good corner nickname. It's got to be a...
The Wildcat. It's been done in football. The...
Yeah.
Christian Benford. We need a nickname. Bills, get on it. Have him do some viral TikTok stuff. That's what people do.
What about...
He's from Maryland.
He's from Maryland. Okay. What about like how he plays, though?
How does he play?
I guess he just kind of... Does he really have anything that stands out? Like, he's just really good at everything.
Is there anything we could apply to him that could be like the Thunder from Down Under? You know, like the so-and-so from Baltimore, the so-and-so from Maryland.
I'm trying to find anything in his Wikipedia page that would... Also, I did Google, does he have a nickname already? And Google's like AI feature they have just said flatly, Christian Benford has no nicknames.
Interesting. Not even on Pro Football Reference, where...
Where everybody has
everybody,
a nickname.
You find the worst, the funniest nicknames you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Who did I see yesterday that had one? Like, here we go. Does Geno Smith have a nickname? He does not.
Really?
No.
It's a little surprising, actually.
Does DK Metcalf have a nickname?
Sure. Gotta.
He does not on Pro Football Reference.
What?
No.
Brady's got like 50 of them on there.
Half of them, people never call them.
Right.
How about this? Does Kenneth Walker have a nickname? Answer yes.
Kenneth Walker the third is just going to be like KW3 or something?
K9.
K9?
Where's number 9? He's K9.
What about just like Benny? That's more of a hockey nickname, isn't it?
Yeah.
Christian Benford. Like if you were a hockey player, he'd be Benny.
Phil in Buffalo has a nickname for Christian Benford. We're trying to up his status. What's up, Phil?
How's it going?
Great.
Good.
I think Ben Fortress.
The Ben Fortress.
Ben Fortress. Ben little Fortress. Little long on the tooth.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Ben
Fortress.
Is there some play on, like, Ford or something? Is there, like, a slogan?
His initials are CB, and he plays CB. So,
CB.
It's not that good of a nickname.
CB squared.
Yeah.
Oh, what about that? CB squared. There you go. It's Christian Benford. It's CB. I'm kind of into that.
We got a couple more ideas. John in West Seneca. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
How about since he's from Maryland, Feisty Crab?
I love it.
This might be my. This might be the best one we've heard.
The spirit of that, I was trying to think of something like that, too. Like, all right, he's from Baltimore. What is it? The
Feisty Crab is pretty good, I think.
We can't realistically call Christian Benford the Feisty Crab.
Why?
Even though I do like it.
I think it's fine.
How about this? Oh, I got it.
It's not going to make
him
all pro.
This is better. The Pincher.
Now we're talking.
The Pincher.
Now we're talking. Yeah.
What do we
T-shirts
think?
T-shirts, too. You could still keep the crabs involved on the T-shirt.
Yeah. And the you know, references to...
All right.
He kills plays.
New leader in the clubhouse, I think, right now.
The Pincher. Thanks, John. We got that courtesy of you. I mean, we could just start doing it. It'll be a shirt in a week.
Yeah.
Jay in Amherst. Hey, Jay, what's up?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
There's already something called Benford's Law, so why not just make it Benford's Law? Don't throw at 47.
What is Benford's Law?
Benford's Law is a statistical law that talks about the probability of a number starting with a specific digit. Like, sure. One is highly common. It's used for fraud analytics.
Gotcha. Okay. Thanks, Jay. Benford's Law.
Was not familiar with Benford's Law.
No. Learning today. Text comes in. How about calling him the Klingon?
That's a good, Klingon.
That's a good name for, like, if you had a cornerback whose last name was Trek, like, the Klingon, that's funny.
I think I like the pincher the most so far, though. Klingon's pretty good. What are the Star Trek nicknames? Should there be a corner already in the league that's called that? I didn't watch Star Trek. I don't even know the character names. Kirk, right?
Yeah.
Should Kirk Cousins' name be the Klingon? That doesn't make sense. He's a quarterback.
803-0550. We got time for a couple more here. Rob in Cheektowaga. Hey, Rob.
I'm thinking blanket, because it'll cover him like a blanket.
Blanket Benford.
So, okay, this is interesting, because I think there is a cornerback in college that is this already. You'll like this. Will Lee III. He's a corner at Texas A&M, and his nickname is the Blanket. And there was a thing that happened with him, or that maybe he does regularly, where he, I'm reading the story now. I read this like a month ago. Theo Weiss is a wide receiver from Missouri. They're playing at Texas A&M. He shows up at his hotel room. What's sitting there at the front door? A blanket with a bow on it. He's been gifted a blanket ahead of the game by Will Lee III, who is nicknamed the Blanket.
So you're telling me that this guy is sending receivers he's going to play against blankets?
Blankets.
This is my new favorite player in sports.
Yes, I want to add a little context, though. I guess there still is a belief he's doing it. He's just trying to make it seem like he's not doing it. There's a controversy about whether he actually sent it, because he said he didn't send it, and now people are wondering if the coach is sending it.
Will Lee?
Yeah. Oh, wait, which coach? The Missouri coach.
Yeah.
This is the controversy, because now what is being levied against the Missouri coach is you're sending your own players reasons to be motivated. Reasons to be trash talked ahead of time, like as bulletin board material. One of those two things is true. Either Will Lee, I hope this is the true one, is sending receivers he's about to play blankets, or the Missouri coach is faking it and sending his own player a blanket to make him motivated.
All right, this is a very tangled web we have woven.
It was a crazy thing.
Will Lee, if in a perfect world, he is sending his future opponents blankets.
I just want that. I'm just going to.
And if that is the case, then this better be future Bills cornerback Will Lee III.
Will Lee, yeah.
I need this player. This is
what a move that is, right?
Unbelievable.
It's so good.
Unbelievable.
It's so good.
I'm getting his jersey today.
Yeah.
This guy, oh my. Is he good? He's got to be good. You can't do that and be bad.
Right.
Maybe you can. All right, we'll get Extendo Sports in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up. The pincher.
Yeah, the pincher. This is a college corner, though. If Benford wants to adopt the blanket, I think that'd probably be pretty good, right?
Yeah.
His name starts with B. And then he's got to start doing the thing where he's gifting receivers blankets when they get here.
Yeah, something that involves either giving a gift or some sort of hand sign or signal.
Yeah.
Again, the job is to give Christian Benford better PR. We're at work. We're going to work on this. 803-0550. We'll wrap things up, Extendo Sports, and pass you off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up 10 o'clock.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
And the forecast today does call for some windy conditions. Gusts.
Oh, good. I'll have to get out and golf.
Yeah. Your favorite, right? I forgot.
Yes.
Your absolute favorite. Let me see what the gusts are looking like. Gusting to 40. As we hear a bunch of leaf blowers outside. Like, yeah, I feel like it's not going to last. Don't go blow leaves right now, because by noon, gusts to 40 miles per hour. Pretty windy throughout the day. All right, what else?
When's the World Series start?
Friday? Yep. Okay. Tomorrow we have Rams and Vikings.
Okay.
Which could be a fun matchup of Brian Flores and that blitz and Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
But we'll see who he's got. He's got Cooper Kupp, no Puka Nacua.
That's getting closer, though.
Yes. Nakua said he hopes that trade talks fall apart and that Stafford and Kupp do not get traded. Makes sense.
Yes, because it would be quitting on the season. Should they blow it up? Should the Rams blow it up? They're done contending for Super Bowls, right? Like, anything else, you're just kind of winding out the time with Stafford as long as he wants to play. Like, they've been doing it for a couple years now, too, right? Like, since they won the Super Bowl, they've been losing piece by piece by piece, and they kind of continue to fade into mediocrity a little bit. They had a good season last year. Decent season. But, like, I don't know. I feel like it would make some sense if they said, yeah, let's end this now. Let's trade Stafford. Let's trade Kupp. No, they're not going to trade Nakua. Let's get all the picks we can, and let's fire up a second phase of Sean McVay here.
Yeah. All right, thanks to everybody that called, texted, tweeted, listened, all that. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Pick up right where we left off when we return here on WGR.